Folks, it's springtime, and this week's special at drhoffman.com is Core Restore, a one-stop shop for your detoxification needs. That's Core Restore. Look for it at drhoffman.com and come browse our full selection of great products at drhoffman.com. Click on the store. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and there's an effort underway to improve the diet of Americans, and I'm part of that effort because on a daily basis I exhort my listeners to eat better, follow a healthier diet, to curtail our terrible epidemics of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, because this is a problem that is a national priority. It's going to sink our country. But today we're going to talk to an expert, an analyst who sees the current government-inspired effort to push dietary guidelines as something less than desirable. He recently penned an op-ed entitled, "Americans Can't Afford Agenda-Driven Dietary Guidelines." Our guest is Eric Telford. He's Senior Vice President of the Franklin Center for Government and Public Integrity. He has served as the Executive Director of Right Online, which he founded, and he's also been Director of Membership for Americans for Prosperity. He's been profiled by the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, National Public Radio, and innumerable TV and radio and media venues. And he has a very interesting point of view that's worth sharing with you. So without further ado, here's Eric Telford. Eric, it's nice having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you much. I can't talk today. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
That's my pleasure. First of all, there's now a big ballyhoo about efforts to relabel our food products and to provide Americans with better information about some of the bad stuff that's in food. And this is something that a lot of people say is long overdue. It's a good role for government to play. More information can't hurt, and is likely to improve the diets of Americans, with good consequences for the health of America at the very time where we need a lot of help, because our health care system is straining, is under a very, very serious challenge. So what possibly could be wrong with promulgating dietary guidelines? Tell us about your op-ed.
Sure. And I wouldn't say, I won't stand here and be an advocate saying that government should play no role in this. I think what's happening right now is troubling because of the type of role that government is playing. Right now we have a committee called the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. This is a joint partnership between the Department of Health and Human Services and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's a panel of primarily academics who put forth recommendations jointly to the two cabinet secretaries that will then, through administrative guidelines, be able to enact the next round of the food pyramid, what they're now calling My Plate, nutritional labeling on products. So this is not just some committee that sits around and pontificates and explores things and does studies. They're putting together some pretty influential recommendations that are going to have a large impact on individuals' nutrition, food and agriculture industry all across the country. This is a committee that has teeth. And I think the problem here is that their main objective and their top priority isn't about nutrition. It's not about what's best for individuals to eat, what's healthiest, what's affordable for people of lower income that can't afford good nutrition. How can we put forth guidelines that set them on a better path? And certainly they're talking about things like obesity, but they've made no bones about the fact that their top objective is more of an environmentalist agenda. It's about Earth sustainability, reducing carbon footprints. You have a lot of people on this committee who are very aggressively exclusively pro-vegan, wanting to nix meat from people's diets entirely. So mm-hmm. these are people with, I think, a troubling agenda that they're on a nutritional advisory committee, but the top objective that they're working toward is environmental issue. And I think that doesn't serve the public well when they're being misguided. Fortunately, we live in an era where people have more access to information about healthy living than ever before. They can do things like tune into intelligent medicine. They can look things up on the internet. I'm all for healthy eating. I'm all for individuals and consumers being strongly informed about their options and healthy living style. I'm just not for the government misleading people because of a hidden agenda.
Well, that's interesting that you say. I mean, on the one hand, they're offering nutritional advice, but then the question is, whose nutritional advice, and is it settled science about correct nutrition, number one? And number two, an environmental agenda is different than a what's healthy for you to eat agenda. I mean, they seem to dovetail for people who are vegetarians, because vegetarians will tell you that, you know, if you eat a very low-fat diet, eat plant-based foods, that's much healthier for you. And, oh, by the way, another argument that they muster is that it's better for the environment. And there's some truth to this notion that eating lower on the food chain, you're going to have, better utilization of agricultural lands, less devastation due to the methane that animals excrete into the atmosphere, that's thought to contribute to global warming. It's tough to think about it, but every time a cow expels gas, they think that the level of the ocean rises by one millionth of a millimeter. there's definitely a belief that this is part of the problem.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. So on the one hand, I think that's a huge factor that raises red flags for me. What is the agenda that they're pursuing? Is it nutrition based or is it environmentally based? I think you're right that in their minds this is probably very closely married. I think there's a strong lack of diverse opinions on this panel. The committee members are pretty much all in lockstep in that same mindset, which I think a free and open debate is good, making sure that a process is inclusive of all points of views, whether you agree with it at the end of the day or not. I would never want to exclude people with this worldview from this kind of committee, but I think they've done that to their ideological opponents, which I think is troubling for any free and open society. The other aspect here is really a question of, these aren't just guidelines, but there are factors here that lead to nanny statism, and I think we can identify foods as unhealthy, but does that necessarily mean that we should ban them, over-regulate them, or tax them in a way that interferes with open markets? And so that's a question that I think we're grappling with as well. And the committee had its most recent hearing this past Friday, and a recap of what some of the members had said, one of the committee members, Deborah Tate, who's a professor at the Gilling School of Public Health at UNC Chapel Hill, is a strong advocate for behavioral modification and wants the government involved in activities like weekly contact in person or by phone, comprehensive monitoring of obese individuals' diets, multiple face-to-face contacts per month, that she calls, quote, intense, or saying, quote, intense contact is the most effective way to drive healthy living. And she also spoke of the benefits of internet behavioral therapy, which she said could include a daily weighing in on smart scales that are linked to the internet.
Uh-huh.
So you've got how closely should the government be watching what you're eating? She also showed some screenshots of sample text messages that the government could send to obese individuals, which maybe this would be a great service for some people who opt in, but if I don't opt into that, do I really want my government texting me to keep reminding me how obese I am? I think there are questions of personal liberty. Also, the fact that
maybe they'll be thinking of introducing calorie credits. The way that they're talking about carbon
credits
is that you're only assigned a certain number of calorie credits, and once you expend your calorie credits, well, when you go to the checkout line, they'll say, "Sorry, you're out of luck. You're going to have to go hungry today."
We laugh about that now, but I wonder in 10 years if we will be. That could become a very real danger. But also beyond the fact that if this were just the fact that the government were putting up a food pyramid on their website that people could happen across and find, or that they were showing at schools, I would be minimally troubled. But this impacts a lot of people's lives when you think of school lunches, when you think of people who are in government food assistance, when you think about people who are in the military. Any program where the government is providing for an individual's meals and their nutrition are going to be impacted by these guidelines. And so I think, again, this is not just some committee that sits around and says, oh, here are some helpful recommendations, take them or leave them. These are recommendations that are going to be literally crammed down people's throats.
But I think a lot of these people say to themselves, and they're a little bit in an echo chamber, not in touch with the overall populace of America. You know, they're in sort of elite enclaves at universities, places like New York, Washington, San Francisco, Chicago. They believe that it's self-evident that Americans eat too much meat, that Americans eat too much butter fat from dairy. They should be on low-fat dairy products, and they should be eating, perhaps fish, far less in the way of beef, and taking the skin off their the chicken breast, and making sure that they don't cook it in butter. And they also believe that Americans should subsist primarily on vegetarian foods. It's settled science, just like with global warming. The belief is the argument is over. If you still challenge global warming, you are a Luddite. You're like the people who resisted the view. You're a flat earther. And the same thing, I think, it can be applied to some of these dietary viewpoints, that we finally reached an era where all the dietary controversies have been resolved in favor of a plant-based diet.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And it's so troubling to me that such a strong segment of the scientific community believes in the existence of something as settled science. I think that the very fundamental notion of science is that we strive to disprove theories and never settle for something being quote-unquote settled science. We never assume that something is a resolved issue. We always try to challenge and disprove. And so I think that should continue to be explored. Scientists have been proven wrong and wrong. Again, we know now that the Earth is not actually flat. So I think what they consider settled science, first of all, I would object to that notion and think that that should continue to be explored. But more importantly, I think even if I were to cede that argument and say that they're right, this is all tied up in a bow and settled science, we all agree to it, if it comes down to the simple question of, then does the government have the authority to basically direct people how to eat, how to live their lives?
Right, it's a matter of personal liberty. And, perhaps exactly. Other countries may be more amenable to forms of government control. I think in Japan, they do that kind of weigh in, and it's part of the culture, and they feel that people should be urged or nudged or shamed into maintaining optimal weight. And maybe that's acceptable because that's what the people over there want. Similarly, in some of the European countries, the social democracies, they may be more in line with that type of thinking. But if a lot of Americans, a big segment of the population in our, our tradition in America is that we're ornery. We resist government intrusion. We want to have the freedom to make our own personal decisions.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think if you were to take a poll, and again, I don't have a poll to say this, but I would challenge somebody to do it, I think you'd be shocked that most Americans don't want the government telling them what to eat. I think we saw a microcosm of that. Even in a left-wing academic bastion like New York City, the resistance to Mayor Bloomberg's restrictive food policies on banning large sodas and trans fats and salt and those types of things, I think if that's happening, if that kind of resistance occurs in New York City, let's see how that flies in Omaha. The other aspect I would say, going back to the settled science, I haven't had a chance to read the full study, but I was sent something today that I find intriguing. Saying beef and red meat is bad, we call that settled science. But there was a study that just came out that shows that there's actually no link between animal fat and heart disease.
Right. Yeah, and this is actually, you've touched on a recurrent theme on this program. I'm very sympathetic to that view, that this is one of the big wrong turns that the American medical establishment and our public health establishment has taken. To this day, if you go to the American Heart Association website, you can click on it right now. You go to heart.org and they will say it's imperative to reduce your intake of saturated fat and you should substitute with healthy vegetable oils. Well, there was just a study that said that that strategy doesn't work to reduce cardiovascular disease. I mean, look, it sounds like an appealing idea, and it's been very inculcated. You eat these low cholesterol vegetable oils, and you'll be heart healthy. But actually, studies show that, in fact, alarmingly, the use of a lot of omega-6 oils from corn oil and safflower oil and sunflower oil can worsen one's cardiovascular risk. It was actually quite alarming to the researchers when they did the intervention, and they found that the people they put on the vegetable oils did worse. And what you're referring to is yet another study that says that they analyzed myriad studies. It's called a meta-analysis. And they just couldn't find evidence that saturated fats, more or less of them, made a difference in terms of the heart outcomes for people.
Yeah, I'm seeing here now the link that somebody had sent me that's on BBC, which, of course, we know is no no bastion of right-wing activity. It's certainly what people would consider centrist or center-left.
Yeah.
But they're publishing an article about this study that had 600,000 participants.
Yes.
Showing exactly what you just mentioned, that saturated fats are no worse for you than unsaturated fats, after decades of the government telling us exactly the opposite. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and my parents owned a restaurant, you would constantly hear the chefs talking, oh, they say margarine's better than butter, and then, oh, no. Now yeah. They say butter's better than margarine. You know, this notion of settled science is a complete farce, and I think we have to be very skeptical of anybody who advances that kind of mindset.
Right. Sort of like that Woody Allen movie called Sleep? Sleeper, where he woke up two centuries hence and discovered that, red meat and cigarettes were actually good for you and whatever. Not that we're going to pull cigarettes into this country. There's pretty incontrovertible evidence that cigarettes are not good for you and that it's good public policy to tax them and restrict access, although banning them, bad idea from the standpoint of personal choice.
And the fact that we saw the media and public health officials hyping long ago the Atkins diet, which under this prevailing logic now, quote-unquote, settled science, would be about the worst thing you could
right.
possibly do.
He caught a lot of flack, and he may, and now that he's deceased, he may take some solace in heaven that he's been vindicated.
That's absolutely true. I'm sorry. I had one other thing I wanted to touch on here when we talk about the kind of misdirection of this not just being about nutrition. One of the questions that was asked at the last hearing, I apologize, I just got a puppy. She's a little rambunctious. One of the questions that was asked by one of the committee members at the last hearing was actually, have there been studies on the impact of carbon emissions from farmers markets? If we're now going after farmers markets as a as a problematic environmental polluter,
right.
I think we've got some pretty big societal problems that we're not going to be able to conquer here.
Okay, so we're going to pause in our interview with Eric Telford, and in part two, I want to talk about a very interesting new article that states that some of this initiative comes from the top, because even the White House pastry chef is disgruntled. He just resigned, saying, quote, "I don't want to demonize cream, butter, sugar, and eggs." We'll continue our discussion with Eric Telford about agenda-driven dietary guidelines promulgated by the federal government. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stay tuned for part two. This is Intelligent Medicine.